Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Krimi-Blog-Podcast in der sechsten Ausgabe. Wie bereits beim letzten Mal angekündigt, gibt es in dieser Woche Interviews mit verschiedenen Krimi-Autoren hier im Krimi-Blog zu hören. Den Auftakt macht der US-amerikanische Thriller-Autor John Katzenbach. John Katzenbach war während des Krimi-Festivals in München. Er hat mit seinem Buch Das Opfer oder mit der Lesung aus diesem Buch das Krimi-Festival eröffnet. John Katzenbach, ein paar biografische Informationen vorweg. John Katzenbach wurde 1950 in Princeton, New Jersey geboren. Seine Mutter ist praktizierende Psychoanalytikerin und der Sohn schreibt jetzt interessanterweise Psychothriller. Eigentlich war John Katzenbach Gerichtsreporter, bis er dann in den 80er Jahren anfing, Romane zu schreiben und 1982 sein Debüt In the Heat of Summer veröffentlichte. Die deutsche Übersetzung erschien unter dem Titel Das mörderische Paradies. Er schrieb eine ganze Reihe von Romanen und darunter auch schon Thriller. 1987 erschien zum Beispiel in den USA The Traveler, den einige Kritiker für einen der besten Serial-Killer-Romane halten. Auch dieser Roman liegt in deutscher Übersetzung vor, Das Auge heißt es. Buch ist allerdings momentan vergriffen, soll aber demnächst wieder aufgelegt werden. Dann wurde es etwas ruhiger um John Katzenbach, zumindest hier in Deutschland. Im letzten Jahr erlebte er dann so etwas wie ein Comeback. Kurz hintereinander erschienen die Romane Die Anstalt und Der Patient und die Titel sagen eigentlich auch schon, dass es hier wirklich um reinrassige Psychothriller geht. Aktuell liegt nun also das Buch Das Opfer von ihm vor, im englischen Original oder im amerikanischen Original The Wrong Man. John Katzenbach hat dieses Buch hier vorgestellt und es geht um eine Stalking-Geschichte. Eine junge Frau wird von einem jungen Mann, wie könnte es anders sein, verfolgt. Sie haben einen One-Night-Stand gehabt und eigentlich bedeutet für die junge Frau dies alles gar nichts. Der junge Mann hat sich allerdings in sie verliebt. Was er alles anstellt, um ihre Gunst zu gewinnen und wie weit er da geht und wie ihre ganze Familie in diese Tragödie mit hineingezogen wird, das erzählt der Roman Das Opfer. Eine der Figuren in diesem Roman bezeichnet die ganze Geschichte am Ende als Liebesgeschichte mit Tod. Und genau das habe ich zu Anfang unseres Interviews John Katzenbach gefragt. Warum glaubt er, dass Liebe und Tod so oft in der Literatur beieinander sind?
That's a very good question. It's a very fine, very thin line between the two often, isn't there? It seems to me that we bring in our characters in books the same passions, both to love and to death. And so when you try to construct a thriller utilizing both of these intense feelings, love and death, it creates an almost, I want to say automatically, creates a kind of tension that runs in all the pages. And that was what I was intending to do.
So this is one to keep the story going, love and death, to move forward and to keep the interest of the reader for the book.
Yes, absolutely. It seems to me that oftentimes in thrillers are about characters that don't really face a threat. They aren't really in danger. Spider-Man is not in danger. Superman is not in danger, really. And so often this is true of the novels as well. I like to take more ordinary people and more ordinary kinds of emotions and situations and find all of the tension and the drama within those moments. And that's what I like to pursue.
And so these ordinary people reflect also the readers, so they your stories get very close to the reader because everyone can follow what the characters in your books have to fear. So there's many fear of them. There's uncertainty. What's going on next? And that's nothing mysterious, but it's a real uncertainty of life.
That's very well put. I wish I'd said that to you. Yes, it is always about uncertainty. Isn't everybody in their own life faces questions, faces difficulties, faces problems that they realize, to use a poker phrase, the stakes are very high. What I try to do is I try to create characters that you and I and most readers find recognizable. Someone that could be living next door, across the street, in the other part of town. And then bring to that all of the tension of a person like, you know, Das Opfer, or the wrong man. And so that the people, the characters, have to find resources within themselves. They have to find what is in their heart and their soul that will help them get out of this terrifying situation they're in.
Another point that grips me is the point of view in your last books. You have two points of view, if I call them. There's a main story told by a third person narrator, and there is a second line where a storyteller in the first person narrates this. Is this some kind of classical command about what's going on there?
I don't know if I'd call it classical, but every time you sit down to tell a story as a novelist, you have to first ask the question of yourself, what is the best form to tell this story? How can I give it not only the most excitement, but the most depth as well? And in the last couple of books, I've experimented with finding sort of unusual formats, techniques. But the notion, the idea I want to get across to you, is that it is to create more perspective, because I think that ultimately helps the reader, because the characters, the narrator, the person telling him this story, and then often is answering the questions that I think the reader has at the same moment. And so it gives it, it's to try to make something, to capture all the moments, all the depth of the thing. That's really what I'm trying to do.
So characters like Michael O'Connell or like Rumpelstiltskin, that's the way I pronounce, how do they come to your mind? How do you find these characters, these bad guys?
I have to say, people ask me that. And I can't really tell you directly where they come from. But what happens is that I see a bad guy in my head. And perhaps it comes from, you know, some darker part of me that I'm not aware of, but there it is. I see him. And it's what's important from the writing point of view is, and I've said this before, it is the bad guy that is the engine of the book. He's the fuel, he's the accelerator that pushes, you know, that makes the whole thing charge forward. And so as a writer, if you aren't really comfortable with the heart of your bad guy, your book will be a failure. So I work a long time in the darkness of my own imagination to create these characters, to create the tension that's necessary.
One review, I think it was from the Washington Post, call your last book the ultimate stalker story. So that's raises high expectation for your next book, isn't it?
Thank you. Exactly. It does. But I would say this as pleased as I was with all the fine reviews I get, that if you actually, as a writer, this is terrible, but if you pay too much attention to them, you'll never get anything new done.
So don't read the reviews.
No, other people can, but the novelist who listens to the reviews is the unhappy person. Yes. So just... you know, when you get a good review, I say thank you and onward, you know, onward. Because otherwise, and you're quite right, it would always be about expectations. It would make it so difficult.
A theme like stalking, how does that come to your mind?
The theme of stalking, it leapt into my head when I was just one day thinking about all the terrible things that can happen to a middle-class family. Accidents, illnesses, financial stress, what have you. All sorts of terrible things can happen. And I suddenly thought, well, what about a stalker? And what about a truly relentless, a stalker that couldn't be stopped with most of the ordinary techniques that we have? And I thought, how this person, in the simplest and quickest ways, could simply disrupt everything in a family and seek to really to attack the identity of that family. And when I started to think all this stuff over, the whole book opened up to me, and I saw the whole thing right to the very last pages.
You did research for this theme? Go through newspapers or something like that?
I did some research. Research, I don't know if you, in all the interviews, you should probably ask everyone that you interview about research. You have to be very careful with research. You have to do enough so that your book seems truthful. But if you do too much, it becomes a textbook. And so you have to be cautious not to research the life out of your characters. You want them to be psychologically true, and you want the crime, if you will, or the actions that are the high points of the book to be psychologically accurate. And you want to make sure that, you know, if you describe a 9mm, you know how it fires. but you have to be very careful with not over preparing, so that the music goes out of the story.
And the psychology is very important in every of your novels, I think. That's very, very important. So this comes because your mother, I've read, is a psychologist?
She's a psychoanalyst. Yes. She and Freud. I think probably to some degree. My family, growing up, everyone was always interested in not only how something happened, but why. And so it became natural for me, when I started writing my novels, to pursue the question why, which is psychology, really, ultimately. And even when I was a young man and I was a newspaper reporter, I was forever asking, what were the reasons that some event happened? And eventually, the reasons are always in that sort of realm of psychology. And so I just became interested, and that's how it, I guess that's the, why it happens the way it happens.
And that's why you choose thriller to tell your story, because you can tell why something is happening, or what's the reason for behavior of some people. Is that the reason why you choose to you could tell it also as a normal story, but you choose thriller?
Well, let me give you a quick answer. All good books should be thrillers, and all thrillers should be good books. The two, I think, you know, you say thrillers, I just think I'm telling a story. I hope that it is exciting.
And you know, there is a discussion going on, I've read on the web, about genre fiction and literary fiction. So there are some people who decided genre fiction is not really literary fiction. That's nothing you say it's true.
I have seen some of the same debates, and I always think that it is the people who want to diminish or denigrate one form are those that can't do it. As I said before, you know, if you are a good storyteller, you tell good stories. And that's what's important. That's what's important for a writer. The people who worry about what genre it is make themselves unhappy. It's something to argue about in a coffee or fine dinner tables and silliness, you know, silly. So, not for me.
So your books always have been standalones. You never wrote a series.
That's true. And every time I've written a character that my agent or publisher says, well, let's make a series, I always kill them off. I don't like to be critical, because in the genre of crime fiction and thrillers and whatnot, there are some wonderful series of books, you know, but I think that this just goes to, I've just never really wanted to, eventually, you know, if you write a series, you're writing the same book again and again. Even if you change the plot somewhat, you're still, you know, going back to things that you know and you're comfortable with. And that's always, I've just never had a mind that could work that way. I always wanted to do something different every time.
So what the plans for your next book? The Wrong One has been published. You writing at the moment?
Yes, I am. I have one of my older books is coming out in Germany in 6 months. It's called, I think, Der Fotograf. It goes back some years, but it's one of my favorite books and a very unsettling book. It's about a killer, a young woman he takes captive, the killer's brother who's trying to find him, and a police detective who believes that he has killed her niece. So it's all of them all over America and coming together. It was an interesting book to write for me, and I'm delighted it's coming out in Germany. But right now, to really answer your question,
what's the title of this book?
In English, it's The Traveler.
The Traveler.
Yeah.
The Traveler, someone called one of the best serial killers books, you know?
Yeah, actually, I was once, you'll like this, I was once at dinner with Thomas Harris, and he leaned off across to me, and he has a wonderful southern accent. He comes from Mississippi, and he goes, John, I like to think that you and I were in the vanguard of this great serial killer novelist. So I guess, you know, if you have to be at the beginning of something, it might as well be that. But anyway, I am at work on a new book, and what I am trying to write about is, again, families, but a family in which a teenage boy is found to have a list on his computer of 50-odd names, and at the very bottom he says, I want to kill them all. And it's about how, what is interesting to me is to create a thriller out of how do you prevent someone from doing something terrible. So often we do, our thrillers are about things that we know have happened, and, you know, then we have to stop the killer from killing again and whatnot. And here I'm trying to do something where can we save someone from themselves?
You've mentioned Thomas Harris. Thomas Harris, I don't know his biographical background, but what came to my mind, that many good crime novels, like yourself, you have a career as a criminal court reporter, like Michael Connelly, who was a crime reporter in Los Angeles, like Laura Lippman, they all come from journalism. What do you think is that?
Good question. But I think the simplest answer is that if you are a journalist covering crimes, it is an education. It is an education not only in how terrible one person can be to another. But you also get educated as to the emotions behind crime. And you see, as a journalist, you know, you're one step removed, so that, you know, you get to examine all of these things. And for me, at least, and I think for Michael Connelly as well, and some others, you begin to see these things that you're writing about as if they're on the stage in front of you. So many actions that are like theatrical pieces. And you begin to understand, well, how can I reform those moments? And that's what becomes the pages of a novel.
Thank you very much for this interview, Mr. Katzenbacher. I wish you all the best for your next book, and also for the book which come out here in Germany.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Ja, soweit das Interview mit John Katzenbach zum Auftakt des Krimi-Festivals in München. Hier nochmal die Angaben. Das aktuelle Buch heißt Das Opfer, erschienen bei Drömer Knauer als Hardcover-Ausgaben. Alle weiteren Sachen stehen dann hier gleich auch im Krimi-Blog. Soweit das Krimi-Blog-Podcast, der Krimi-Blog-Podcast für heute. Morgen geht es dann im Interview um Feng Shui und weiße Elefanten. Sie wissen dann schon, wer gemeint ist. Es geht um Nuri Vitacci, den ich im Interview hatte. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Zum Abschluss gibt es jetzt noch ein paar Takte Musik von Jeff Louis. Und das Stück heißt bezeichnenderweise The Stalker und ist aus dem Album After. Ich wünsche Ihnen noch einen schönen Tag.
Step behind, I'm going again.